And hello and welcome to today's show, Strategic Insights Radio, brought to you by Sterling Rose Consulting Corp. Sterling Rose Consulting Corp. is a full-service business consulting firm with three divisions, business consulting, marketing consulting, and strategic business technology consulting. Today, we're honored to have the founder and CEO of Sterling Rose Consulting Corp., Jennifer Ruse, and the commercial risk management consultant for Integrated Insurance Solutions, Stephen Collins. Jennifer has a long career working for both corporations and as an entrepreneur. She began her career after college in the 90s in market intelligence, business operations, and management for companies such as MidAmerica Research, Fact and Focus, Lucent Technologies, Kyocera Wireless, ARS Current Analysis, and WebSense Software Solutions before starting her own company in 2004. She has since been a business consultant and now founder and CEO of Sterling Rose Consulting Corp. Stephen has worked within the commercial insurance space since 1999. He's a very, very old man, first starting with Port City Insurance Group and for the past 2 years with Integrated Insurance Solutions. Stephen specializes in servicing individuals, businesses, and other insurance brokers with all of their insurance needs. He's a graduate of Norcross High School, go Blue Devils, a graduate of Valdosta State University and Georgia College and State University as well. Today's Strategic Insights Radio broadcast is going to be about Integrated Insurance Solutions and how they've helped the businesses stay safe and succeed.
Thank you, Mike, and thank you, Stephen, for being on the show today.
You're welcome.
Okay, so I wanted to start by talking a little bit about Integrated Insurance Solutions. So I know that Integrated Insurance Solutions, also known as IIS, is an independent insurance agency located in Johns Creek, Georgia, and it specializes in all types of business insurance products, bonds, and professional liability. Can you expand a little bit on that?
Sure. Integrated has been around since 99, and basically our focal point is the commercial field. We certainly do personal lines as well, but we have other people in the office that do that. To expand on my specialty, basically we go in and we'll customize the GL policy, the worker comp policy.
Okay, back up a second.
Okay.
So GL.
Okay.
Define that.
Policy. Your general liability. Thanks for stopping me. I'll get in the insurance talk mode. But anyway, your general liability, which is part of your business owner policy. And then also, if you own the property, we'll also insure the building. And then the contents of the building, which is also known as business personal property, we'll insure that. Then there'll be other endorsements as well that we'll focus on, but that's depending on the type of industry that you're in.
Okay. Are there any particular industries you don't cover?
Not really. I love a challenge. So the only way I get turned down is if my underwriter turns me down. So we certainly will accept all industries and try our best to customize them, because one thing we pride ourselves on is that we're an independent agent. So we're creating the box, not fitting you in a box.
Okay. So I've come across a number of issues that businesses have been subject to.
Okay.
Right. One of which is always forgetting about coverage and how detrimental not having that right coverage for business can be. So some of the issues are paying too much for their coverage, not planning for the worst case scenario, unique business situations not being covered, not having realistic expectation what is covered, not placing the proper valuation on a property, not covering for everything that needs to be covered. So let's start kind of at the beginning of that. So
okay.
Can you give me some examples of clients that you have found that have been paying too much or not enough?
Sure. Normally, when I locate a client that's paid too much or not enough, there hasn't been communication with their current broker or consultant. It's a simple conversation of sitting down and being prompt with questions, going over your particular business to define it, defining the values and defining your inventory value. Just today, we were with a pest control company. We just found out that the inventory that's stored in warehouse isn't covered.
That's good.
Yeah. And basically, that was just a simple question that the agent or consultant could have asked. And we sat down, we defined the chemicals, we defined the value of the chemicals, and put the coverage on there. Communication's key. And that's where you find people being over and underinsured, is because there's no communication.
So what kind of scenarios have you seen where clients have not covered the right things or just been underinsured?
Well, a lot of times I've seen, for example, restaurants. The toughest thing for me right now is putting in the data breach or cyber liability endorsement. It's new, and a lot of people feel they don't need it.
For the sake of our listeners, right? Okay. Do you want to go into exactly what that covers?
Sure. Basically, what happens is when you're inputting a POS system for your restaurant and somebody hacks into it and then pulls sensitive information out of that, that's a cyber breach. Well, if you do not have a cyber endorsement within your policy, and it just doesn't have to be a restaurant, it's just that's what I'm focusing on right now. Basically, you're coming out of pocket, and that can be huge out of pocket. That's going to be upfront defense, and then also that's going to include damages to the folks of the personal information, and then any rendering defense in the back, and that can add up quickly.
Well, I know for my listeners, now this is not just for restaurants, because I'm telling you, as a service industry, and I'm a business consultant, and we have cyber coverage because we take online payments, even though we use a gateway system, if for God forbid we get hacked for any reason into any of our security systems, we have financial data. We have all different kinds of information about our clients, and we're liable for that information.
Correct. That's a great point that you brought up. And my focal point is that I would certainly take a look at it if you're handling any type of sensitive data that can cause damage to a third party.
Yeah, I know in our case that that's one thing we are actually covered for.
Yes, I know.
Yes, I'm well aware since you actually cover our company. So can you give me, I know we talked a little bit about restaurants, but let's talk a little bit about the difference between covering a restaurant versus a retailer versus a service company like mine.
Okay.
So what kind of coverages would you sit down and first overview and take a look at what they have covered, but also make sure that they're covered for in the different kinds of industries?
Correct. That's a huge broad spectrum.
I know.
Right there. But for instance, if you're in the restaurant, you certainly want to look at your spoilage food endorsements. You also want to look at your power outage endorsements. That's one of the most important endorsements that restaurants do not put in there, because what happens is if your power's out, basically your income is interrupted. And then it's another endorsement is your business income interruption. You want to be compensated for that as well. So catch all. In the retail world, you know, that's a little bit different. You have a little bit more inventory rather than spoilage inventory. And depending on the type of retail business you're in, we will cover that as well as crime, money, and securities. A big thing now, especially not only in the restaurant world, but even in the retail world, it's employee practice liability, EPL.
What covers the employee?
Well, what that does, that's actually in covering the owner. An employee was let go of a company, or if an employee feels that he or she was harassed, that creates a lawsuit. Most of the time with the EPLs, it's discrimination lawsuits.
Okay.
And people today feel that, you know, they're sort of, I'm immune to that, but no more. It's coming up more and more. And there are folks out there that know how to play this game, and they'll find out how good you are with your business and so forth. So that's another endorsement that we put on there.
So when you're dealing with, and in the case of a service client, now that they're a completely different type of client.
Depending on the service, let's just say they provide consulting services. Let's say they provide input of data manipulation and also software manipulation in order to make the business run functionally. Not only do you put your general liability in there and cover the business itself, but the key factor is called professional liability, and that's where you have your errors and omissions. When you make a consulting error or you make a manipulation error, your general liability is not sufficient to cover you. Matter of fact, you'll be declined.
Mm-hmm.
This is by skill. So by skill, you have to be covered by your professional liability. So that's what we put in for most servicing companies that are doing any type of consulting or manipulating of numbers within another business. So,
and I know in my case, right, we have a kind of a unique business because we don't have physical location at the time, right? So what makes it interesting is that I put when we discussed putting together our risk assessment for our company, that one of the risks is that my employees going to different events and going to different meetings.
Correct.
And the liability on my company of them if they get into an accident or mm-hmm. something to that. And I know that's something that a lot of people just don't pay, you know, don't realize that they are actually liable for their employees driving to an event.
Correct. And it doesn't have to be just an event. It can be going to see a client. And when you don't, when you do not have a commercial auto in place, the endorsement that I put in the general liability is called non-owned, non-hired. And basically what that is helping you is that if you have an employee or yourself driving to a client and you're in an accident, your personal insurance is not going to cover this.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's going to happen is they're going to find out that you're on business time, and then they'll have an attorney that's going to come back at you. And you certainly want to have this in place. It's normally $1 million and above to protect yourself, because not only do you want to protect your company, if that is exhausted and it's not sufficient enough, they're going to climb over that wall and they're going to see personal assets. And that's what I try to protect for my business owners.
Yeah. And that would be a horrible thing to happen at the moment.
Exactly.
So when you look at for a policy for your clients, what kind of information do you require from your commercial clients?
Sure. The basic information that I require, obviously, mailing address, physical address, FIN number, which is your federal ID number. And then we get into estimated gross revenues of your startup, or we take an average of your gross revenues from the past, because your general liability is based upon that. Now, some policies are based upon square footage but that of the office and so forth, but that's depending on the industry. Mostly that's happening within the restaurant world, right in there. But usually I try to get the value of the contents, the building, structures and information on that. And I have my own questionnaire that I fill out, and it sort of prompts me to get what I need for per industry that I'm in.
Okay, because I know that you've dealt with a couple of my clients,
mm-hmm.
and you didn't have a checklist that you could go through because their products literally were so revolutionary
mm-hmm.
and their industries were so out there
yeah.
that they just didn't exist yet.
Yeah.
And those kind of scenarios, because that does come up. I mean,
yeah.
startups are passionate and they're great, but sometimes they come up truly in a totally different industry and vertical that just doesn't exist yet.
Sure.
What
sure.
happens to insure a company like that?
Well, what I do is I try to get the basic information that I just recited to you and get that down. And then I just go into my pen format and write everything down. Right now, a lot of these type industries are your app applications, especially when you have programmers and you're dealing with an app, then you're providing these apps on your phone for third parties and so forth right there. So,
well, I know one of them was actually mechanical, though.
Yes. Yes.
That you dealt with on mine.
Yes,
it was
that's
a
right.
totally new technology.
Oh, yes. The catalytic converter cleaner.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Matter of fact, what was funny about that one, I had to recreate the application with the underwriter to get that passed through. So we did a lot of scribbling that day.
Yeah, that was quite an interesting one, yeah. because I don't even know how to describe that, because it's you know, yes, in some ways it's, I guess, mechanical. In some ways it's yeah. actually automotive. In some yeah. ways it's not.
And then on top of that, she lived on top of a mountain in New Mexico.
So. That too.
And in order for her to fax, she had to come down the mountain and fax and go back up. So,
yeah, there were some interesting challenges in that particular project. Once you've gathered all the information from the clients, how long does it take you to get them a quote and, for that matter, get them insured?
Well, that's all depending how complex it is. If we're talking like a simple retail company, like a woman's boutique store, I can pretty much knock that out in a day if I have all the proper information. If we're dealing something that's complex, like the catalytic converter or phone apps and that source, that can take a couple of weeks. We'd have to define the information. The underwriter is going to come back with several questions. And normally that takes a good 2 weeks to get something solidified in there. But we try our best to put everything on a timeline basis. And I try to give an estimated timeline basis depending on the industry that I'm in.
And I know above and beyond even just startups and small businesses and even larger businesses that you work with, you also sometimes work with HOAs.
Correct.
In the case of an HOA, what kind of things do you make sure that they cover?
Well, basically, the first and foremost is the director's insurance. You want to make sure that everybody around that table is protected. And then we dive into the property. It's really not as of a complex insurance to have there. And we have some defined markets for subdivisions for that as well. So normally, once we get the proper information in place, we can probably have that proposal out on the table within, you know, 5 business days.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know that certain rules have changed recently because I sit on board of my HOA.
Yes.
And we were playing catch up on making sure that the directors aren't going to get hit by anything.
Definitely.
Because I guess one of those is that now someone in one of our meetings can actually sue us personally.
Correct.
Which is kind of a new thing that's just happened. Mm-hmm. And the joke is we're just volunteers. So thanks to us. Yeah. In the case of risk mitigation for clients, do you ever work with clients just to understand the scenarios that might occur for them?
Oh, yes. I mean, that's the foundation in my eyes of a good consultant or agent. You really have to know the owner, know where they're coming from and the foundation of the type of business they're in before, you know, you put anything on the tables. There's a lot of quoters out there. And some people may not understand that. My focal point is to balance the proper and right structure within an A-rated company. And then from there, I will choose my lowest bid. You have other agents out there that like to just quote and they just want the lowest thing. It may not be the best coverage, but they're going to have a low one on there. I wouldn't be the right person for that particular prospect.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about your prospects. Who okay. are your ideal clients?
My ideal clients will take the time to sit down and talk with me because I know if they're giving me time to understand where they're coming from, the foundation of their business, in the understanding of their business, I know I can put more accurate coverage for them. And 9 times out of 10, what we try to do is we balance the proper coverage with the bottom line and just make sure they're satisfied. That's communication. It goes back to communication.
Well, talking about communication, I mean, yeah. I'm sure you get a lot of excuses for businesses, right? Telling you about, oh, I just don't have that kind of money or this and that. Right. What are some of those excuses that you get most commonly?
Well, the bottom line is economics. It's the bottom line. Oh my gosh, you know. But my philosophy in life is, you know, I'd rather have it, not need it, and need it, not have it. These are the necessary evils to protect your company from somebody suing you and protecting not only your company, but the personal assets that you're building up from your company. That you have to take a look at as well.
Well, it's not just people suing you. I mean, it can be just as simple as a natural disaster.
Oh, that's correct. That's
I mean, correct. A fire or a natural disaster, you have to relocate to another space and you're not covered for it. What do you do? I mean, it's going to shut you down.
Oh, I understand. I understand.
And I know I've read recently that due to insurance problems for businesses, more than 28% of companies actually have to close their doors because they don't have proper coverage in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Can you provide me some insight into what types of disasters and what the result of those disasters are that'll drive the closing of a business?
Well, I mean, right now, let's go back to cyber. I know it's not a natural disaster. Thank God Georgia doesn't have too many of them here, and I know fire is one of them. But I have people, oh, take that endorsement off or, you know, it's not going to happen to me. Well, we're not going to mention any company names or anything, but this gentleman didn't go with me. I was $1,000 higher, and that was because of the cyber liability. And the other agent didn't have it on there, so he went that route. This particular person was breached, cost him over $400,000 when everything was said and done. Just $1,000 more, and we're talking annual premium, $1,000 more. I think I'd rather pay the $1,000 than the $400,000. So that's my go-to story. That's why I preach cyber every day about it.
Yeah, well, I know in my business, I know it's only a couple bucks, not even $20 a month extra for me, but it's...
No, it's cheap.
To me, it's kind of like, okay, I go to Starbucks 4 more times or I could go... or I could save my company a lot of money in case something happens. And the chances with cyber, though, we all know there's a greater chance of it happening than not.
Sure.
Because the security systems aren't totally there yet for every new technology that comes out. And we all like to play with the newest technologies.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually something's going to happen where a phishing expedition, you get something that's going to happen within some kind of malware ends up on your computer.
Right.
And that's it. It can knock through your entire system if it's not secure enough. And most companies, especially small businesses, we use a lot of open source technologies because it's the least expensive. I've got a little bit ahead of that where we don't use any open source, but a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
And you're on open networks and you're using things like Google Mail and you're doing things that are very easy to breach for a lot of people. And
I agree.
By doing that, as much as you have the business section or the enterprise solution of these technologies, the reality is they're still open source.
Mm-hmm.
That is easy for anybody to come in and send in some kind of a system that's going to cause a virus on your system and can breach everything from finding your personal information to finding your client's information.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And so if you don't have cyber out there, think about it. Talk to your insurance brokers. So to protect yourself, you need to avoid certain insurance problems, right? That means you need to have the right kind of commercial insurance, the proper levels to insure and survive the worst case scenarios. What are some of the worst case scenarios you've seen?
Oh, boy. Pretty broad question there. In defining as risk, worst case scenarios or?
Risk or that you've actually seen your clients go through.
Well, I mean, risk-wise, this month would probably have to be hang gliding.
Okay.
Yeah. If anybody wants to go up the Lookout Mountain and flight services, and they do the manufacture of hang gliding, they do hang gliding services and instructions. And that was probably one of the most extreme risks this month that I had to put together. So, like I said, the most challenging I love. So I embrace it. And we did locate the workers' comp.
Wow.
And the general liability policy for them. And we just closed the other week on it. So, yeah. So,
I mean, what other risks do you see when you're talking to different businesses that are they? Most people know the basic risks, right? You know, if it's a restaurant, there's a chance for a fire. You know, there's a chance for food going bad. You know, there's certain chances that things are going to happen that off the top of your head, certain scenarios. What are some that people just don't even think about in different industries?
The biggest one in my mind right now is the medical industry. Okay. When I deal with doctors, when I put in the malpractice policies for doctors, they tend to forget when they change from one policy to the next that if there were any claims on the previous policy, they will not be covered under here.
Oh.
And so there's another endorsement called the extended period reporting, or also known as TAIL, where we will calculate a separate policy that will allow if any of the past claims from the previous malpractice ends up in court where it will be covered. So that's the biggest thing that I see, especially in the doctor world, being dropped.
Does that also, is the same in the business world? Because, I mean, a lot of people, we change policies every couple of years. If we have a claim from a previous that we're still working through,
there is and there isn't in the medical, it's defined in the medical field that we have to produce the TAIL policy. When you start dealing with other industries and so forth, some will have it come up depending on how you have it, and some will not. So you have to take each case by case.
Okay.
So.
And then for businesses, what are some of the scenarios that most of the small businesses or even large businesses that you deal with miss? What are some of the things that we just miss when we're looking at, when we're putting our risk assessment together, right? Because most companies eventually, if you're smart about your business, actually has a risk assessment and you have kind of procedures of what to do when something happens.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's interesting is I work with a lot of companies and I know there's a lot of holes in their risk, their risk assessments. What are some of the biggest holes that you see in the risk assessments?
Mainly with the employee practice, the EPL that we talked about, and also the employee benefits. And I'm not talking about employee benefits provided. I'm talking about that you have a qualified group plan, and let's say the owner or the office manager forgot to stroke the check. Policy canceled, and you had an employee that had some serious surgery mm-hmm. instructed that week. They declined that person. That's where the employee benefit endorsement comes into play, because when they decline and the policy's not revamped up, the only person they can come back to is the owner.
Yeah, and I know that and I've run into a recent client who wasn't covered properly mm-hmm. in a previous business, and it cost them nearly $800,000 in damages mm-hmm. On a personal level. So it actually bankrupted him. So it didn't just take his business from him. It actually took everything personally from him too. Mm-hmm. So one thing I can definitely tell listeners is do not gamble with your coverage. Talk to your agents and see what, if your coverage is and what you need to do to survive, and not just survive, but actually make sure you can succeed in your business, because there's a lot of pieces that you probably didn't think about. And a good insurance broker will tell you that. So if someone wanted to learn more about your services and how they can reach you, how would they get hold of you?
Well, the best way to reach me is just call me on my contact number, 770-667-3636, extension 103. And I will certainly take the time to schedule an appointment with you to sit down and talk, do the what-if scenarios, as I call it.
And I know one of the things that, you know, I refer a lot of my clients to you, because you're not just here in Georgia. You actually service my clients everywhere in the United States, pretty much.
Correct.
So are there any limitations to where you can service client?
Well, the two biggest states, the one biggest state that's the toughest is Massachusetts. So it's that's one of the toughest ones. We take each state case by case. I've been working with you for a while, so I get a feel where they're coming from. Now, New Mexico was in left field, but, on top of a mountain, but we sort of do it. But we'll take each state case by case. Normally, we're in the Southeast is mm-hmm. what we're servicing. But obviously, we'll move off Chicago, New Mexico, and so forth, California, and we'll try our best with that.
And I know that one of the other things, you don't just do the businesses, but I've walked you through some redevelopment projects too. Mm-hmm. So you're not kind of just stuck to sitting to just the normal commercial.
True. My specialty falls in the commercial and the medical and the business field. One thing we hadn't mentioned was we also do bonds. Now, not financial bonds, but fiduciary bonds, performance bonds, bonds of that nature.
Do you want to explain what that is a little bit to the listeners?
Sure. Performance bonds are basically dealt with contractors mainly. So let's just say they were in the city of Norcross, and they're going to construct a park for the city of Norcross. This contractor needed a performance bond put in place that was required by the city. We have access to those type of bonds. It's just all depending. Liquor bonds, your liquor stores, they're required by the state to have liquor bonds. Georgia Power requires a bond for the liquor stores as well. So we just...
I know also in the trucking industry, brokerage bonds.
Correct. So we do all that. CPAs who do a lot of trustee work, we put in their bonds as well in the trust as well. So we do all various bonds. The only thing that we ask is that whoever is requiring a bond from you, obtain that language information and send it to me so I can read it, because sometimes some bonds overlap, and that's what we need to watch out for right in there.
Okay. Thank you, Stephen.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
All right. Great stuff. Thank you, Jennifer. And thank you, Stephen. Let's all go hang gliding right now. This has been Strategic Insights Radio, discussing the risks of not having proper commercial insurance. For more information about the integrated insurance solutions, contact Stephen Collins at 770-667-3636, extension 103. For more information about Sterling Rose Consulting Corp, contact Sterling Rose Consulting Corp at 470-202-8659 or visit their website, sterlingroseconsultingcorp.com. We'll see you next time right here on Strategic Insights Radio.